give an ultimatum and it doesn't work, is it your own belief system that is not operating?
Partly. It's partly also that you may be creating resistance with your ultimatum. Depends on the way you're giving it.
It's like if I threaten those fleas and in a week's time they're still hanging around, do they get the powder or do I give them a chance?
Well, that's up to you. I would give them the powder. I'd say, hey, if you're still here,
you obviously know that you mean what you say.
That's right. You obviously are ready to leave the earthly existence.
So if your car's giving you difficulty, you give it the ultimatum to ship up or ship out.
Then sell the sucker. But you can do that ultimatum as a threat, or you can do it as simply
a choice.
Like a choice. Exactly.
Yeah. Offering them a choice.
Offering them a choice. And offering to help them
relocate.
Relocate. Or translate, however you want to put it. Oh, okay, obviously you would like me to help you translate into another dimension. Fine. Okay. Doesn't have to be done with anger, and it's best done not without anger. And you're going to get the best effects. So I hope this has given you some ideas about how the telepathy works and how to make it work better for you and what kind of results to look for when you are doing it. All right, we're going to have an hour break. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then we'll come back and we'll go into doing some things with clairvoyance. We'll start working with the aura. And first of all, we'll have the experience of seeing it, and then we'll have the experience of changing it. Okay, good. We are. Let's talk a little bit about, we're going to be talking about clairvoyance, and so let's talk a little bit about enhancing that ability. And these are my little ritual. These beads, which from Hawaii symbolize light and enlightenment, symbolize teaching and learning, and I wear them to remind myself that when I'm teaching, I'm learning. Now my ku knows that I'm in teaching mode. When we want to develop these abilities, we have heard something about the third eye and developing the third eye. And there's been so much nonsense written about that. One of the most nonsensical things from a writer that I'd also got some good stuff from, but this was really from dreamland, talked about an experience of a opening the third eye by having a surgical incision cut here in the forehead that was held open by little toothpicks or braces or something like that so that light could penetrate, and that was going to open up the third eye and make them more telepathic. Actually, it probably caused so much stress to the body and the brain that it would close them down if that's what he actually did. The third eye is so often associated with the pineal gland. Pineal gland isn't even up here. A lot of people think it is. Pineal gland's straight back in here. You don't have too much focusing on the tip of the nose, except by some yogis. But this has got nothing to do with the pineal gland. The third eye, what that really means when the ancients talk about developing the third eye, they're talking about the mind's eye. They're talking about the eye of the imagination. That's what they mean by the third eye. Nevertheless, there is benefit in focusing on this brow center in order to develop, let's call it clairvoyant vision or imagery. And the reason for that is so very simple. It comes down to a very first level, physical level reality reason. And that is because this is the area of the frontal lobe of your brain. The frontal lobe of your brain is the part which has the most to do with imagination. And because it has the most to do with imagination, it also affects emotion. So when certain of the mental hospitals have a very unruly patient, one of the things they want to do is give that patient a lobotomy. And the reason they give the lobotomy, which is, I won't have to describe the process of it, but it has the effect of scrambling the front portion of the brain here, so that the imaginative faculty is dulled, diminished, or done away with. Therefore, when there's no imagination, the person can function perfectly normally, except there's virtually no imagination, therefore no emotions, therefore they're calmer. And so that's why that's done, and that's what happens. Now, when we want to seek to develop that imagination, then what we do is we, and one of our third principles says that energy flows where attention goes. And so we focus here in some way or another in order to bring attention there. When we bring attention there, what happens at first level is it increases the blood flow to the frontal lobe, nourishes those cells more, they can operate more effectively. It also stimulates the flow of the lymph away to take the toxins and clear and cleanse the cells. At second level, it induces an energy flow, it energizes and enhances the energy of that area, and also at second level then, which is the psychic level, opens you up more to being able to receive or even transmit at the various frequencies at which psychic information travels. So that's why there is usefulness at focusing on the forehead. Edgar Cayce wrote, one of his writings, that one of the ways that he developed psychic ability was to meditate with a stone of lapis, what do you call it, lapis lingua, taped to the forehead. I don't know if anybody's ever read that or remembered that. Lapis lingua is also called chrysocolla. It's a beautiful blue-green stone.
Yeah,
oh, yeah, made up of azure. Well, that's
the blue one, that's lapis.
There's lapis lazuli, which looks like what you have.
Oh, yeah, and then there's another one.
Yes.
There's two different kinds.
Yeah, chrysocolla has more green to it.
Yeah.
It's also less expensive. And it's called lapis lingua. Lapis lazuli is the dark blue one. Lapis lingua is a combination of azurite and malachite. And it's a pretty stone. A lot of it you can find in Arizona. But it's called lapis lingua because it's supposed to have this faculty of stimulating telepathy or psychic ability. So he said you meditate with that stone taped to your forehead, and that would stimulate your psychic abilities. Well, I experimented with that. I taped that stone to my forehead, and I decided I was going to, rather than just meditate with it, I was going to go to sleep with it and see all the psychic dreams that it would induce. And it did. And that night I had this brilliant, vivid, lucid dream of climbing on board a bus. And I got on the bus and I was looking out at the people who were sitting there, and all the people pointed to me and say, "Look at that fellow with the blue stone on his head." That was the dream. And for what I found out through a lot more experimentation on myself and on others who were volunteers in our organization at the time, we used to do a lot of research, was that anything taped to the forehead would help to focus attention there, and it was the attention that would focus the flow that was really bringing out the effect. Now, however, if you put something on the forehead that was focused there that also had an energy field, well, that would enhance the effect. So crystal was very good. But a copper penny or silver coin would also be very good, because the combination of the metal with the skin produces an orgone effect, a condenser, a capacitor effect, which produces an energy field. It really comes out for practical purposes that you could put anything up there. You could focus with your finger up there and it'll stimulate it. The sensation that begins to happen when you do that is a feeling of drawing together. It's a puckering kind of sensation, or tingling for some people. And if the reaction is to fight against that, then the muscles begin to clench, and then you can get a headache from it. But if you can let it go by itself, it's only a really just a tingling and an energizing and activating.
That's
Interesting. I was told to do that for headache. Put a real nickel coin here. So I put three here and hold it on with a cold cloth, and it really drew. In fact, the headache became more intense right there. It just drew so much, and I mean, I quit doing, wasn't taking it away, but it definitely had an interesting effect.
Yes, yes. Well, the interesting effect is a focusing energy at that point. Mm-hmm. Okay. And if you got a headache, what you really want to do is, like I said, you want to expand it and release it out. You've got contraction there.
Yeah, I was told a similar exercise to that too, actually, with regard to releasing energy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'll work with any part of the body. So if we want to have an experiment now at stimulating that part of the center, that center of the body, let's do that. If you have a crystal, you can use that. If you have a coin, you can use that. If you want to use this, or I've got some other of these devices here, if you want to try that at your forehead. Does anybody want to try one of these?
Sure.
You can use these. You don't have to take them out of the package if you want to use one of these.
May I have a little crystal?
Sure. Mm. Sure. That's right.
I know this is connected, but I'm intrigued by the stone in the ring.
That's a Australian opal.
Australian opal, because it's catching the light.
I know, isn't that incredible? Yeah. We're just there and got something. Oh, yeah. Beautiful.
It's just catching the light. Yeah. I'm moving your hands. It catches the light, and I'm listening to what you're saying. And the color kind of takes me away.
Well, I'm going to take my shoe off.
Greater flow of energy?
I think so.
Just, you know, if anybody gets interested in having one of these, they're usually 13 Canadian. I'm letting them go at 10 while I'm here. If you don't want to keep them, that's okay too. Let's take a deep breath now. Let yourself focus. And whatever device you're using, you can either touch it to your forehead, or you can hold it an inch or so away. Sometimes it's easier touching simply because it takes less strain on your arm. But in some fashion or another, put whatever you're using, put it on your forehead. And keep your attention there. And as best you can, with your attention, with this thing on your forehead, allow your muscles to stay relaxed. And just be aware of the feelings and sensations that you get. Sometimes it helps to be aware of your breathing while you're focusing on that spot. Just that you stay in the present moment and keep your focus. John, what did you experience?
I began, well, you lose track of everything, but what I was sensing, I don't know whether I was visualizing it or just feeling it, but everything was like peaking into a point. And I was like I was looking down on the point, but mm-hmm. The point was here.
Okay, good.
Just concentrating it, I guess.
Yeah. Robbie?
I was really aware of the temperature difference, and I kept on feeling lopsided, so I was sort of moving it over a little bit, and then I just felt my feet started to tingle, so I moved it around a little bit to see if it made any difference, and sort of like when it came over this side, then this side tingled, if I moved it that side, then this side tingled, and then I just had a picture of like a flash flood, and after that, my feet stopped tingling. And I don't know. That's it.
All right, things happen.
Okay? Exciting time.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll be dressed.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I was having a bit of trouble focusing, concentrating on the breathing in through here and out through there and back to here. So
Oh, that was a complicated thing.
Yes, it was very.
Yes.
So then I decided I just felt myself drawn on the other side of my cranium to receive the energy.
Okay.
And nothing happened, but it right. was just...
What was the sensation?
I need longer time.
That's okay. What was the sensation?
Oh, it was new. It was a very new sensation, being up in the front here and being on the receiving end, but that's about it. I didn't...
Okay, when you say... When you say new sensation, what do you mean?
A new place to be, to go.
Ah, okay.
So it was just new.
Right.
You
did fine.
Oh, okay.
That's right. It's okay. In all of these experiences, it's very important that you validate your own experience.
Okay.
And you don't compare it with others, because we're all unique. We're all different backgrounds, we're all different mental structures, emotional structures. What happens to you is what happens to you. And you can never go wrong because that's your experience. Okay?
Okay. One thing that's happened to me is that it's physically increased my heart rate quite
mm-hmm.
rapidly, and I don't seem to be able to bring it down. And I'm not sure what that means, but... What happened while I was holding that there is that the face of my spiritual master,
mm-hmm.
who is alive in India, came into my forehead, and actually that is something that we are trained to do. It's part
right.
of our meditation technique, so it did not surprise me in a way that was a comfort to me, because it was an indication that it's all right for me to be here today experimenting with this stuff, which is in a way a little bit fringe from what he teaches,
mm-hmm.
but still, you know, kind of a validation for me.
Right, good.
But I don't know what to make of this heartbeat thing.
Right. Would you like to calm that down?
Yeah.
Now, in the area of your heart, imagine a very cool, calm lake early in the morning. Something to do with what we're about to go into. Okay.
I felt the pressure and the focusing on the forehead. I can still feel it. It's almost as if I hadn't taken the stone away.
Yes.
And I visualized it on my forehead as well. I saw its shape and everything.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. So you have energized it, and that energizing is continuing now. Okay.
I began to feel a pulse, which may have been in my finger, but it felt as if it were in the coin,
mm-hmm.
pulsing. And a slight a metallic kind of pain going in a band this way, not to the back, but just around the front, from there, back and forth. That's all.
Okay.
Not a severe pain, but just a sensation.
Okay. Is that gone now, or is that still
Oh, yes, it's gone.
Oh, okay.
Since I took it away.
All right.
I felt, it was most comfortable to hold this maybe about a half an inch outward.
Yes.
And as I focused, I think I had a sort of a pictorial image of the jaggedness a bit of this, but I saw the color the same as your lapis, I think, only it was transparent as though it was a piece of glass.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that color stayed, and I had the impression of just incredible peace and calm.
Good. All right.
Focus in here. Like you say, being drawn in, tingling sensation, which later went throughout my body.
Mm-hmm.
I just sat back and enjoyed it.
All right. Okay, good. Now, we're going to start doing things. What we've done here is energize that portion of our mind that we can start now using and working with images. In telepathy, we can send images and we can send words and things. In clairvoyance, there's really not a great deal of difference, except that we consciously are working with more symbolism when we're doing it, and we usually receive more in images. And there's two kinds of clairvoyance that we'll work with. One is, first of all, seeing auras, and the other one is working with images and seeing things beyond physical sight. How about we could use that thing up there? I think we still will be able to. Let me try this. Okay. How many people here have seen the horror? So?
I have.
Once or twice.
Yeah. Once or twice. Okay.
I don't know.
Not at will, though. Not at will.
Well, let's see them at will. And so if you over there would find a place over here, let's see if we can do this.
But you can see anyone's aura any time, Serge?
Oh, sure. Doesn't everybody?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but we're doing that.
Everybody can learn to, once you know what to look for. Now, I want you to look about an inch or so over my head. And what you may see is real close to my head. It might be somewhat of a darkish line. Just beyond my head, though, it'll be brighter. If you look further out, it'll get dimmer, so you'll be able to see the difference. But it may be about an inch or so, maybe 2 inches. Kind of a brighter band of background just over my head. Can everybody see that?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Around your face here?
And around my face, and wrapped around my shoulders too.
Just the lightness.
It's a lightness. Okay? Mm-hmm. Everybody got it?
Yeah.
Now watch. Got a difference there.
It increased.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it's not a definite line. The outside line is sort of fuzzier.
That's right. Mm-hmm. But there was a change. Mm-hmm. Now keep watching over my head as I move. I'm going to move, but don't move your eyes.
Oh, you made it go way bigger.
Okay, that's right. Now as I move, keep your eyes looking right over my head in the same direction. Don't follow me, but stay right here.
For heaven's sakes. Now, is that an impression on our eye?
Yes.
Or?
What you're seeing there is the after image because it's more pronounced. You only see after images when you are picking up an energy frequency to show you that you were looking at energy.
It lasted quite a while.
It lasted quite a while, mm-hmm. That's right. So that's why it made that after image impressions on your eyes. Is because you were looking at energy. Sometimes you'll look and see a colored something on the wall and turn away and you'll see the same image elsewhere. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It's because there's an energy reflection or radiation coming from whatever you're looking at. So here you were, that's why you were seeing the aura. That's to show you that you were seeing the aura. Now when you were seeing it by looking directly at me, we can change back now. What you also saw was that at will I was able to change it. Showing that we're not just having an optical effect, but we're seeing something there that can be changed by the will of the person involved. Now, when you're doing that, it's something like what he was doing when he was doing the deep breathing and imagining his aura as very intense, and it was extending out here according to our device that we were looking at. Here's a way to see that same kind of phenomenon. So that we can, and when we are the stronger our energy field is, the more influence we have on our environment.
Is the aura just the light type of thing? Because you always, hear people with colors and seeing different...
Ah, okay. There's two things that happen. One thing is that certain people, by practice, are able to develop this to the point where they are seeing, let's call it a higher octave of color. It's not the same kind of color we're seeing at this dimension. Not the same frequency, it's a different frequency. But it's like another octave above. And so some people with practice, some people simply by the way they came in, they were opened up to that. And they were never taught not to. And so they're still able to see that. Other people have trained themselves to be able to see it. Okay? But it's like seeing colors at a different octave. They're fainter, usually. But again, whether they're faint or not, how faint they are depends on your energy state. Well.
Do they really reflect the being that they're looking at?
Now here's where we get into an interesting area. Okay? Yes, they do. However, What the colors mean depends on the system you learned. So different colors, if you have a sense that green means peace, and you look at somebody and you look and their aura is all green, you say, oh, you're very peaceful right now. If you have a system that says a rosy pink means peace, then you look at a person who's very peaceful and you'll see rosy pink. So your ku will tend to interpret colors according to the system that you have of colors. If you don't have any system whatsoever and you learn so many that you don't have a fixed one right now, and you just allow the colors to be there, the tendency is, the same as at first level, the tendency is warm colors will indicate stimulation and movement, and cool colors will tend to indicate calm, relax. At their extremes, the warm colors will tend to indicate things even like anger, because it's like an explosive expansion. And the cool colors at their extreme can tend to indicate a severe contraction, what some people will even call a hole in the aura, which is really the darkness that they're perceiving where there's a contraction of energy.
I see shoots that come off people. Like yesterday, we were doing an exercise in the afternoon, and when I opened my eyes, you were standing there, and there was a long streak up at the ceiling over your head, and then you had a big blue shoot that came out of just above your ear with an orange, smaller.
These are often ways that people will perceive thought forms that are forming and going out and being transmitted. And those kinds of things, it could come, for instance, if it were me, it could come when I was, let's say, thinking about some place that I know in preparation for sharing an experience, or thinking about a memory that had some emotional content to it, or any number of things. So we can perceive thought forms, actually, or the energy effects of thoughts when we're looking at this. Now we can learn how to read the auras, if we choose to do that. For some people, they'll perceive to receive clairvoyantly in a different way. Some people will like to do it with the auras. But in order for that to make any sense for you, to be able to interpret so you can understand a person better, or to be able to do some more effective healing work on them, you got to have a system. You can learn any system you choose, or you can make up your own. Your ku will go according to whatever system you decide is the one that's valid, the one that you're going to use. There's no one right system for interpreting colors, other than the general tendency of expansion and contraction, stimulation and calming. And then, once you learn a system whereby the colors mean thus and such, well then your ku will tend to interpret what you're perceiving in terms of the colors. It's like very often when we have these energy devices, crystals and things, the four typical ways that people will perceive those are as, if they receive that energy on their hand, for instance, will be as a sense of tingling, would be a current, usually fine, a sense of pressure, a cool breeze, or warmth. Which of those is it? Well, the ku doesn't really know, because we've never taught it any particular way of perceiving it. Unless we do teach it that, then it's trying its best to interpret the sensation in terms of what it already knows. Because your ku, its basic function, subconscious function, is memory. And it can only repeat what it knows, what it has learned. And if you give it a new system, a new kind of learning, then it can do something different with it. So I wanted to demonstrate the aura to show that you can see it, and then you decide as to whether you want to develop that enough, practice it enough, you'll see more and more of it. And then you decide whether that's useful to you.
You need a system then to go on.
Yeah, if you want to make it real useful to be able to interpret it, yes. And like I said, you can use one of the presently available systems, or you can make one up. Whatever is most useful to you. The aura is there and it can be seen. And it's real. I was giving a demonstration at a shopping center. A person I knew was in one of my classes, also was manager of a shopping center, and decided it would be a good thing to have a psychic fair at the shopping center. So she contacted all these organizations and had them set up booths in the center of the mall. And we had something there. And what I had, one of the setups that I had was, I had a lot of these, a light background like that is good, but also a black one. So I had these squares of black felt. And I had people, just shoppers walking along, come up and put their hands over there, and they could see their aura, because you could see it real easy with that kind of a background. And, you know, it was real straight. This was in the San Fernando Valley in Los Angeles area. Hey, look, Mabel, my aura. And walk on, you know. Let's go to Atomic Hands. And just taking it all as a very matter of fact. And I, for the longest time, I had a girl looking over my shoulder, watching as all this was going on. Finally, when there was nobody around, she said, you know, she said, I was put into a mental hospital for 2 years because I could see what all those other people are seeing. And that wasn't too many years ago. And yet this is such a normal, ordinary ability that we all have. Well, understanding it and knowing it's normal is one thing. Maybe in your various ways, even somebody comes up against it and doesn't know what's going on, why, maybe this will help you to explain it. But like I said, it's there for you to develop if you want to also. And the more you energize that frontal lobe, the easier it will be to see those things. And you can learn to see the auras of anything you choose. You can see the auras of trees, tables, objects of any kind, people, animals. One thing that's most handy, if you get to do that, is if you simply don't pay attention to color and pay more attention to brightness. Brightness will give you an indication of the person's energy level. If they seem to have almost no aura or seem to be very, very dim, then they're probably highly stressed. And that can give you an indication to help them in some way. Or they might be overexcited. It's flashing and crashing all over the place. All right. Oh yeah, I have down on here seeing spirits. These are awareness of seeing different, you know, things at different frequencies. We talk about auras. People also will see spirits. And this was some of the UFO incidences happen where people are seeing things apparently here, but no one else can see them. Or maybe they do see them in a group, but there's no trace of them afterwards. Being able to see an astral projection of somebody, that will happen sometimes, because that's occurring at a particular frequency that it takes a degree of clairvoyance to be aware of. Anybody had an experience of seeing an astral projection that you're aware of?
I have, except I didn't really see it, but I was aware of it.
Okay, it was reaching you at the kinesthetic level.
I mean, I knew what she looked like and what she had on, which way she was facing, where she was standing, but I didn't see her with my eyes.
All right, there was just that knowing.
Yes.
Okay, mm-hmm. And that was more telepathic. Okay.
I have both. I have images of people who come in, and I see it right inside. But I also did one time see somebody who was lying down, who just appeared and then went again.
Mm-hmm.
And no explanation. I was quite young at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again,
yes, it was scary.
This, yes, right. Here's an area where, you know, people are moving around and popping in and out, and people from other dimensions are happening, that there may not be any particular meaning to it. It's simply the state of awareness that you're at that moment. I remember walking on the beach in Malibu, and I was walking with my wife, and I had looked out, and there was a guy, about knee-deep in the water, maybe 100 yards or so down the beach, looking out to sea. And so I noticed him and talked to my wife and looked down and looked up again. The guy was gone. And I had that familiar feeling to me now that I recognize. I realized that, somebody was someplace remembering very strongly being at the beach. When you do that, there's an astral projection very often. And I was seeing, it was so vivid, he must have been really deep into the memory. It was so vivid that I could see the form as if it were three-dimensional. And then when I vanished away, by the time I got back up, it must have been only just a few moments of intense concentration that would produce that image there. And so sometimes, people are astral traveling a lot, some people even while they're awake, and we simply are aware when those images are occurring.
It's not just images, too. It could be something audio.
Oh, sometimes, sure.
If you're strange, but I mean...
No, I've had that, too.
Yeah.
A strong knock that sounds just as real as just like that, or a voice saying, hey, come over here. I say, what? Who that?
Or a voice saying your name.
Yes.
I've had that.
Often, yes.
Yeah, just a couple of times, but it just...
It's incredible.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, real clear. Yeah. Someone calling you, someone calling for your attention telepathically. And you're not able always to tell when or who it is or what the purpose is. Okay. But just pay attention, give a good thought, and let it go. Now, in talking about this and the aura and seeing things and tuning in, we come into what we were talking about earlier of putting that sense of protection around you. You have your own aura. Now what can you do with it in a practical way for yourself and others? It doesn't necessarily have to do with color sensations, but will have an effect of brightness. We have this energy field around us. One of the things that people have been taught is something called the white light. In Hawaiian, I'll give you the name. We have the concept called La'akea, which means it can be translated as sacred white light or sacred light. And what it is learning how to be aware of your aura and then modifying it at will, doing things with it at will. You saw how simply by having the intent, I expanded mine. Well, whenever you have the intent, that expansion takes place. Or you can also, the easiest way to deal with it is like we talk to anything, talking to it, talking to your ku or talking to your aura and telling it what you want it to do. Because it will change vibrations or change frequencies according to your intent. Now it's changing all the time. Your aura isn't one solid mass out here. But when you tell it to do a particular thing, what you're actually, regardless of what part of yourself you're communicating with, the effect will take place. If you say protect or shield, why then the frequency will alter in a particular way. Many people learn to use the white light and they call it the white light of protection. Right? This is a great first aid device. For first aid.
Like a band-aid treatment.
That's right. And so in an emergency, it's a good thing to do. Remember when I told you about I got that sudden, gotta panic, gotta get the one ad. First thing I did then was put up the light. And then calm down, realize that I was picking up something from elsewhere. Okay. And then proceeded to use the light in a healing way that we'll talk about. But sometimes as a first aid measure, that protection or mind shielding, as we sometimes call it, is very useful. But if that's the only thing you do, then every time you use it, you are reinforcing your fear. Because if you put it up and you perceive something, you know you don't want that, you're going to put it up, shield yourself, protect yourself. If you're always thinking in terms of protection, you're always coming from fear. And there's a much better way to do it when you advance beyond that. So, I'm just recalling one person who did this and put the shield up, and often what the people are taught also, not only the white light of protection, but to put up a bubble. And then not only to put up a bubble, but put up a bubble with a mirror on the outside so that all the bad, nasty, negative thoughts will hit, bounce off, and go back to the sender. Okay. Whoa. First of all, it assumes that wherever that's coming from was done on purpose, and that is so rare as to be totally insignificant. Second of all, by putting that bubble up, you are cutting off your awareness and cutting yourself off from from the rest of the world. And I know one person who learned this and really practiced it and put up a strong bubble because she didn't like her boss. And her boss came in one time and said,
yeah.
She literally had cut it off so much, she couldn't hear her. You know? That's a bit extreme. First aid is fine in an immediate emergency situation. Yes?
I know someone who was having really negative energy projected to him, and he was told to do the mirror routine, which, as you say, is a band-aid treatment, but it was working for him. But I told him, and just yesterday, that two or three times a day to open that and to take in universal energy before he closes it again. Because as soon as he said that, I realized it was working, but he was cutting himself off.
Sure. Now, after today, you can tell him to do something different.
Yeah.
Because what you want to move into beyond the shield is a field, a harmonizing field. You can tell the energy field, your aura, to shield you. You can also tell it to harmonize or to neutralize. Neutralize the environment or neutralize whatever energy is coming in. If you imagine your aura right now, and you tell your aura, or tell your ku, whatever you prefer, tell your higher self, doesn't matter what you tell, but speak to your aura and tell it, okay, harmonize. Whatever comes in from whatever direction, harmonize it. And you, by your power, then, are changing its very nature. Changing whatever comes in to usable, useful, healthy, healing energy. By your word. And when I was in graduate school, working on a newspaper, why, there was another reporter in the school that our auras really clashed. I mean, we just, don't know what it was, didn't get along. And we each wrote a column, and we began to have little snide remarks about each other in the column, and they got more and more snide, and we took a greater and greater dislike to each other, and the auras were getting further and further apart. One time I was walking across campus, I saw him talking to a friend of mine that I wanted to talk to. And I started to turn away because I didn't want to deal with him. I said, whoa, King, wait a second, what are you doing? You're giving him the power to keep you away from your friend? We got to change this. Now, at that point, I could have done all kinds of different things. What I chose to do, and I'm glad I did, was change my aura. What I told my aura to do was, say, I don't care what you do or how you do it, harmonize with his aura. And I walked right straight toward him. And talked to my friend, nodded to this guy, and there was none of that feeling of clash. There was none of that feeling of resistance. And from that moment on, our relationship changed. We even actually, from then on, said hello as we walked across the campus and met each other. We never did hug, but, you know.
That was too much.
It was neutral enough, and the columns, without any words on anybody's part, I mean, it was my intent, but his too, it just happened. There was no more of those snide remarks. They just dropped right out of the columns. And all I had done was tell my aura, harmonize with his field. Change whatever you have to harmonize with it. And it changed the relationship. We can do that with relationships that we have difficulty with. One of the key things here is that you change yourself to change your world.